Mini episode 592 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by the Pullins Group, delivering public affairs consulting and marketing services for small businesses trying to grow. Follow them on the web at PullinsGroup.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
So up next, we got a team that I know we have a modicum of agreement on. You're definitely higher on them than I am.
Also, I don't think we have agreement on this team at all. I definitely flat out like them.
It depends on how much you have them above 500. They were 9-7 last year, the Kansas City Chiefs.
And that's where Vegas has them this year, too, 9.
Okay, I got them at 8-8, and we were talking off air previously that there's really only a couple teams you can make a case for a wild card spot in the AFC. You got them, you got San Diego, you got Miami. They're kind of all in that bin together here. You are choosing to go Kansas City out of that bin. I am not. I got them at 8-8. I don't dislike them, but, you know, I think it's a thing where I have some questions. Jeremy Maclin is going to represent an upgrade at wide receiver. Defensively, you got to love what they're doing.
Yes.
Justin Houston, they were able to retain him. He made that massive leap up last year defensively. So they're doing some excellent things on that side of the ball. Andy Reid teams have shown consistently that there's a high floor to them, aside from, I mean, Philly had toward the end there, one or two years at the end that weren't so great. But
yeah,
I mean,
think the year that caused him to leave, which was the year like that dream team year where it all just went so wrong, he had the personal issues as well,
right,
which didn't help. That was like the first time that he didn't make the playoffs in back-to-back years, his last 2 years there.
Yeah.
So, and Kansas City coming off a non-playoff season.
He's a high-floor coach.
Yes.
He's not necessarily a high-ceiling coach. I mean, he had some good years in Philadelphia.
He should have gone to more Super Bowls, probably.
Should have, probably. This is not a situation, though. Again, I'm just not wowed by what's there in Kansas City.
This is not a Super Bowl team by any stretch
of
the imagination.
But here's the thing, though, and where I will give you a certain amount of credence is this. Because, like I said, they're a team you can at least make a case for making the playoffs. And, again, that's how I tend to view it. They're in that mix. As I said, I mean, spoiler alert, you got them, Miami, San Diego. I'm going for the other two out of those three. You're going for this one here. So, you know, we essentially just disagree because I like San Diego and you don't. And one of these teams was probably going to be 8-8. You probably have San Diego approximately where I have Kansas City.
Yeah, it sounds
so
like
it's just a complete difference of opinion on which of the two teams.
I think it is a pick.
But again, a fine line between them. Which is going to be very painful for Kansas City when we get to San Diego, because just by dint of making the playoffs, you may be surprised at how far I have them going.
Okay. Well, yeah, I surmise that you liked San Diego more than Kansas City, but I agree with your rationale that it comes down to who do you like more, San Diego or Kansas City.
Pretty much. One
of those two probably gets the wild card.
Zero-sum game.
I'm going with the Chiefs. This was a team. Now, last year I was very low. It's kind of the opposite of Buffalo here.
Okay.
Last year at this time when I sat at this table across from Richard Y. Morris, I was not very high in Kansas City. They had a massive jump in wins the previous season. Went from 2-11 in Alex Smith's first year.
Yeah.
They were off that heartbreaking playoff loss to the Colts, and I thought they'd really regress in 2014. They showed me something that they did regress in wins. They dropped to 9, but being able to stick at 9, they showed me something that this is, you're right, this team's floor is fairly high. I think they were arguably the best non-playoff team last year in either conference.
I'm going to say San Diego, but that's
okay.
Again,
well,
that's consistent.
Kansas City last year beat both New England and Seattle. Those teams played in a game called the Super Bowl.
Right.
In case if you forgot.
Well, blew out New England also.
Yes, yes, they did.
That's the game where people were questioning Brady.
Trent Dilfer had like some horrible post-game remarks, and I know that you think he has horrible post-game remarks after every game, but these were particularly putrid.
Well,
he's kind of fallen off the cliff there, but Trent, I don't know.
Never thought much of him in
the
first
company,
place.
The company he keeps, I think, maybe is just...
Very possibly. I'll tell you what, though.
Point differential plus 72, Kansas City. That's very impressive.
And I'll give you this, because I am a big regression and progression to the mean guy. The fact that they won 9 games... with no touchdowns thrown to their wide receivers argues in favor of you, not me, because that won't happen again.
My work here is done. Oh, my work here is done. Do you know what I have written down here as my second point for Kansas City? You know what won't happen again, question mark? Receivers catch no touchdowns.
Well, we all know that.
They literally could have kept the same group, and it can't. It was
Helen Keller knew that was going to be on your list. Don't be so proud.
Oh, she did. It's fine. I don't want to go the old, if you and me were out there this year, they would at least get a touchdown, because that's bad.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
I know.
That's just not going to be repeated. They upgraded the position anyway with Macklin. Defensively, I like how you reference this team's defense.
Yeah.
Because in doing my research on the Chiefs, this is what really got me.
They got some real studs.
Do you know that they allowed more than 20 points in only 5 games last season? Twice was to Peyton Manning in Denver.
Okay.
Now, the other three, ironically, were to Tennessee, San Francisco, and Oakland. I don't know if they were caught napping in those games.
Yeah.
You talk about, in retrospect, the most head-scratching result of the year. Chiefs, week one, at home, lost to Tennessee 26-10.
Yep.
Tennessee won one game the rest of the year.
We thought it was going to be a long year for Kansas City.
We did. Remember
after
when they lost? They were like, see, regression, everybody.
Yep.
And then they lost the next week. They were 0-2, and you and I were like, oh, my God, the Chiefs, this is a last place.
Yeah.
This could be a last place team.
9-5 from there, then.
Yeah. So I look at this team, and I see them improving on last year's 9-win total. The schedule is something else to look at with the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you know who they play the last 2 weeks of the year, Kansas City?
Who?
At home, Cleveland and Oakland.
Ooh.
They play Oakland twice in the last 5 weeks.
The Hunt family must have pictures of the schedule maker with a goat to be able to get that to happen.
It's a kind schedule. We talk about how Andy Reid coach teams typically bounce back from a non-playoff season. I got them at 10 wins. There's been a little movement here, too. People may be agreeing with me. The line's gone from 8.5 to 9 here.
Bounce back. That would be like the Dean Ambrose lariat off the between the ropes.
Something
here.
Like that. I love the obscure wrestling reference.
Thank you.
Which, by the way, there is a wonderful obscure wrestling reference in the Kansas City Chiefs chapter here in the Football Outsiders Almanac.
Awesome.
About the Royal Rumble 1994.
What?
Which, by the way. The fine listeners can find that.
Yes.
You know, they can find that mini episode.
Absolutely.
As well.
We
like
reference
to do that,
that
as well.
Isn't it great,
people that love pro wrestling and pro football? What a great group of people.
there's a tremendous overlap, and I'll give a shout out, too. I know that our friends from Squared Circle Gazette are right in the middle of that part of the Venn diagram there.
Good, I like it.
The best pure ongoing wrestling podcast on the web, no question about it. Listen to those guys. But, yeah, that's I agree with you.
I think this is going to be a better team this year. I know Alex Smith.
I guess I'm just looking at hard luck when I say 8-8 then, because I don't disagree with a whole lot of what you're saying, and yet I don't think they're going to have an uptick.
Well, there's not a lot that's exciting about this team. I mean, Alex Smith is kind of like Andy Dalton, where it's like, okay, this guy's not very good.
You know what, though?
But he's good enough to get to the playoffs because, again, Alex Smith is better than... God, I don't want to say half the quarterbacks in the AFC because then I could be wrong. But I can tell you several teams at Kansas City's kind of level who have worse quarterback situations. Buffalo and Houston, we know.
New York.
The Jets are bad. Cleveland.
Browns.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Who?
The Browns.
The Browns. Jacksonville. The Raiders. Tennessee.
I'll say the Natty because you know what? Alex Smith.
They're the same guy.
Alex Smith is limited, but he's at least borderline clutch. Alex Smith has made it to Championship Sunday. Andy Dalton's gone out in the first round every year.
Kyle Ross. Put that all on the quarterback. Alex Smith also had Jim Harbaugh.
True. But you don't think Alex Smith is at least a tiny bit more cold-blooded than Andy Dalton?
I've got it 6-1. If you were to force me to do one of those articles where people divide the quarterbacks in this league into tiers, I have them in the same tier.
Same tier, but you don't have him in a tie, do you? Who's ahead of the other one? It's Alex Smith.
It's the same guy. I'm not going to pick one.
Oh, no. I disagree with that. He's at least not a choke artist. He at least can handle the pass rush, unlike Dalton.
He does not like to throw the ball downfield a lot, though, Alex Smith.
He's a dink and dunk guy. True. You know, and Andy Dalton... on some of the longer ones to A.J. Green, can have more success. Then again, when has Alex Smith ever had an A.J. Green? I'll turn that back around on you.
He probably has not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you for sure.
By the way, who's
not.
The tight end? Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
Kelce.
A sleeper. There.
He had a lot. So the whole thing with the receivers not catching any touchdowns. He had.
It's not like
of
he had 25 touchdowns
no,
though. I
no,
mean, not
no.
Enough
I mean,
to,
Jesus. I mean, it wasn't like Jerry Rice in '89, but I mean, he's a reliable target.
Yeah,
like,
but I'm just saying it doesn't account for the entire drought.
Okay.
But yeah.
Another team I like. Are we done with the Chiefs?
We're done.
Another team I like this year. A team that you have all often referred to lovingly as your 1A team.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins. This is a bit of a mea culpa for me.
Okay.
When we did that, and this is where I could get in trouble, when we did that show in February where we were right after the regular season
mm-hmm.
and we kind of tried to gaze into the future,
mm-hmm.
I'll admit I was not very high on Miami. Part of that was, fresh in my mind, they kind of no-showed their last regular season game right after Joe Philbin got the assurance he would be back, which is a troubling sign. Who did they play? They played somebody like bad and they lost. I think it was like
it was the Jets.
Yes, it was the Jets. Yes, God, they lost. Yeah, they lost to the Jets. They gave up 37 points to the Jets.
Right. How does that happen?
You know, a lot of people say, "Well, what's happened between now and February?" Well, they did sign Sue.
Yeah,
on defense, and that's going to make their defense better.
Right,
no doubt about it. Their front seven, I think, is pretty good. Secondary, questionable. But a good front seven and a good pass rush.
Brent Grimes keeps getting it done year after year.
A good front seven can make the secondary look a lot better. So
you know what, though? Here's the thing, though. They're a little bit, and I say this again, as somebody that's a Dolphins fan that's very frustrated, they're a little indie-like in terms of, you know, they're a little top, you know, Sue and whatever, they're kind of top-heavy in places salary-wise, and then there's holes in other places. Their drafting, their talent acquisition in recent
years. Has not been good.
Deion Jordan, anyone?
Well, your boy Ireland, at least he's gone now. I think there's better communication. And I'm not sold on Joe Philbin as a great head coach
yet. I'm not either.
He's kind of plateaued. He's been, 7-9 and 2-8, or he's been 6-10, 7-9, and then 2-8-8 seasons.
Yep.
I think this year they do jump up, and I'll tell you what, it's not just the defense that I think is going to be better. I think this offense is going to break out. Ryan Tannehill, who I know our dear friend Jason Jones thinks nothing of,
mm-hmm.
I think is going to take a step up into being a good quarterback this year.
Better than the Alex Smith level?
Yes. I do believe that.
I got him right around
I would
still.
I told you I would not say with certainty that either Alex Smith or Andy Dalton were better than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill I would take over those two. Absolutely.
I guess I would say Tannehill, Smith, Dalton, if you put a gun to my head. But
I won't.
I won't because I believe
in gun control.
Same tier. Well, of course you do.
But they've surrounded Tannehill with some nice weapons.
They have.
Too. I mean,
Landry,
Jordan Cameron.
Stills. Yeah.
Devontae Parker, the draft pick. I know he's banged up, but still, I mean, I think that this team is going to make a leap this year. Does not mean that I love this team long term and I think they're going to be an elite team for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, again, when I look at the AFC, who can step up and be a playoff team? You know, there's obvious regression candidates like Houston and Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then there's the usual sad sacks, Cleveland, Oakland, and Jacksonville, that you can just wipe off the board.
Right.
So you're kind of limited, like you were talking about moments ago. I've got Miami winning 10, maybe 11 games, challenging New England for the AFC East Division. And by the way, they host the Patriots in week 17. Miami's schedule is very interesting. I noted it, and I will bring it up right now. The final two games will determine their fate. They are at home for both. They are against Indianapolis and New England.
Okay.
That's it. But getting both at home, if they split those, that's okay. I'm predicting a very strong start to this team for the year. They have a lot of kind road games. Washington, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Those are the teams you want to see on the road schedule because they are what we call winnable.
Absolutely.
I have them starting. I can easily see here and then they get Houston. I see them starting 5-1. They have an early bye week, which does them no favors. But here's another key. And you know this because you're a Dolphins fan and you know the history. They don't play any cold weather games in December. They are at home
that
four
helps.
Of their last five games.
Yeah.
They're lone roadie in San Diego who I know you love, who, yeah. who we'll talk about them, and you like them a lot, but that's they don't exactly have the strongest home field advantage in the league, and it's a warm weather game. So.
Well, yeah, that definitely helps the Finns. 8-8 last year. I got them at 9-7 this year. I got them as a wild card, but again, and that's the funny thing here. We both have them as a wild card, and I got them a game back in New England, but it's all in how you look at it. And I don't know if it's the inherent pessimism that's baked into the cake of me being a Dolphins fan also and knowing how this team operates, not really believing much still in this front office slash coaching structure, but I got them in there because, again, you know, Kansas City, Miami, San Diego. Got to pretty much kind of pick two of the three in my estimation. Miami, I can make a case for them, and I am making a case for them because of their strength in some of those areas, as you said, defensively, because I think they'll be improved offensively. They're one of those teams. They're going to make the playoffs. But when you're getting to the fringe of the playoffs, and I think both the AFC and the NFC, that's not necessarily much to be excited about. That doesn't mean you're going to go on a deep run. I got them making the playoffs. They make it. They're one and done. Whatever. See you next year. But probably not for you, Joe Philbin. Yeah.
Well, this organization – oh, if he makes the playoffs, he's absolutely keeping his job. That's the way that these – I mean, again, I'm not
yeah,
saying –
you're probably right.
It's a flawed line of thinking.
You're probably right.
But
yeah.
It's funny. The way you describe things is correct.
Yeah.
Just because you get in – I know that fans scoff at this and front offices may scoff at this too, but they're all wrong if they do.
Right.
If you do just kind of like scratch your way into the playoffs and just lose
– yeah.
It really doesn't mean you're incrementally better than a team that you won a tiebreaker over, didn't make the playoffs.
You have to look at the landscape.
No,
yeah,
and,
it doesn't
and
mean
crap. I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, you'll love, I know you'll hate this so much, so I'm going to say it. I mean, you know, if you're a home team, there's extra revenue that you derive from the extra home game. But one other note about Miami where they'll improve. Special teams. They were worst in the league last year in special teams. That's a highly variable statistic. So, I mean, their special teams can only go up, too. So, I think all, like Kansas City, the signs point for a pretty decent team getting better. They were only plus 15 in point differential. Believe it or not, you know, the Buffaloes and the Houstons of the world were both better last year, both won an extra game. I just think that Tannehill makes the big leap. That's the key.
Okay, well, you see a bigger leap coming than I
do. Yeah, so I like the last two teams a little bit more than you do.
Yeah, yeah, and which is interesting because we actually agree on Miami making the playoffs. We actually both agree. I know that next up here alphabetically is a team that they won't surmount for the division title, a team that...
Oh, I think they might. I think they might.
Might, okay. All right.
I think it could be a tie.
Okay. Well, a team that, again, for all that they have accomplished in the last 15 years, as we've pointed out, benefits greatly from most years just winning this division by default. The New England Patriots, 12-4 a year ago. I got them 10-6 this year, making it into the playoffs. I think they're going to stub their toe in the short-lived Jimmy Garoppolo era here at the beginning of the season. Not going the crapper completely, but I think that's going to be enough to keep Miami at the very least in the race and keep it interesting longer.
I mean, I talked about the schedule. Miami, I think Miami figures to start strong. By the way, the Dolphins win total, I did not go this open at 8 and is now at 9. So
that's
a bandwagon.
That's right where I got them.
Yeah, I got them over there. Like I said, 10 or 11. I'm going as high as possibly 11 for the Dolphins. I really like that. I really like the Dolphins.
Okay.
I just wanted to make that clear when you said couldn't supplant them because I think they may supplant the Patriots this year. The Patriots now. It would be easy to simply point at the likely absence of Brady for those first four games and say that's the reason why Miami could do it. But remember, sports fans, New England started last year 2-2 and wound up going 12-4 and won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I look at this year's first four games for New England. They are at home for the season opener against Pittsburgh, who will not have Le'Veon Bell, big loss of their own.
Yeah.
At Buffalo, who both of us think kind of takes a step back, although Rex Ryan defenses always give Brady some trouble. I think they
that's not going to be a factor.
Yeah, that is true. You're right. Or should I say they give Bill Belichick trouble? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's true. Good good correction. I think they'll split those games.
That sounds about right.
You know, I mean, either they, if they lose the opener, they'll be pissed off and take it out on Buffalo, or if they win the opener.
They're going to have 10 days anyways, too.
Jacksonville at home in week 3. Jimmy Garoppolo can beat them.
Either me or you, Kyle Ross.
Yeah. That's such a bad take. Oh, yeah, I could make that tackle. No, you couldn't, pal. Look at you. You got a plate full of nachos in front of you, and your beer gut hangs out, you know, 12 inches.
Is that what you hear when you're watching NFL Sunday Ticket with the unwashed masses at the sports bar? Is that what you're hearing?
Oh, God, there are some awful takes there. I always tell people about, you know, my job and stuff like that. If I could, ideally, I would just get to the bar an hour before the games and just listen to what everyone says and do the exact opposite. Like if some guy was, like, trying to impress you, look, let me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something right now. The Dolphins are going to kill the Jets this week. Did you see how bad the Jets were last week? I would take the Jets plus the points. I'd bet my mortgage on it. Anyway,
right.
New England will then in week four, and this is interesting. I assume he's suspended four games, right? Not four weeks.
Yeah, four games.
Well, they're off a bye when they go to Dallas. So I don't think New England's going to do any worse than 2-2 in those first four games. And they proved last year that they could still have a successful season. Now, they do have to go to both Indy and Denver this year.
Well.
And that Indy game looks like that'll be the one where Brady returns. So I think it's going to be another slow start, strong finish. But the loss of Revis looms large. This
Huge.
Is a team that I believe Rick Morris led the league in turnover differential last year. That's a very bouncing around kind of statistic.
So glad you mentioned Revis because I was going to get to this. I don't remember who at Grantland, if it was Robert Mays or Bill Barnwell, but they took a look at it. New England now on paper has one of the worst secondaries in the league.
They lost Brandon Browner, too,
yeah,
right? He obviously was the weak link in the Legion of Boom when it was Seattle, but he's a good, competent
sub-replacement level guys, though, in there. And Bill Belichick, I know in his infinite arrogance, well, we made it to the Super Bowl when I would just plug in Troy Brown back there. It's a different league right now, Bozo Choke. So that secondary is clip and save.
You hate Bill Belichick, don't you?
Don't like him personally. I'd like to see that trash bag get set on fire one of these summers when he's rocking it for training camp. But look, I admit that he has been a great head coach, not in Cleveland, unfortunately. Not in Cleveland. And I reject the revisionism that you saw any of the traces of that in Cleveland because he was garbage.
Well, he learned. You live and you learn. Yeah, you coach and you learn.
Well, I'm so grateful we could be his training wheels. That's what we're here for. But anyways, as far as it goes, clip and save.
Did you know that Ozzie Newsome's first draft with Baltimore, he got Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden?
I do know that,
okay,
yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're clear.
Thank
okay.
you. Clip and save. That secondary, it's going to come back to bite them when it really costs the most
later
on.
They were tied for number two in plus-minus ratio at plus 12 with Houston. Only Green Bay was better.
Yeah.
So, you probably see some regression. The number, I believe, is 10.5, and that is it's actually down to 10 with high juice on the over. That's a good number. I see him at 10 or 11, and like I said, battling with Miami for first place. I'm bigger on Miami. I think Miami may actually bag the division.
I'll tell you this, too, and this is going to be one of the key tests.
One of them will win 11, one of them will win 10.
Of Belichick's adaptability. And that being, for whatever reason, and who knows why this is, but they seem to be allergic to stability at the non-Brady and non-Gronk skill positions there. You have a situation where last year one of the big reasons they made the Super Bowl was finding late bloomers in both LeGarrette Blount and Brandon LaFell, two very talented players who fit into their system well. Now this year, from a fantasy perspective, I think it's very easy to overrate them because New England, again, for whatever reason, whether it's like Vince wanting to beat certain guys once he signs them to WWE just to keep them humble or whatever, we'll see if the Patriots do that this year.
That was
because there's no
very
reason.
Random aside by you, by the way.
Well, I'm using a point of comparison here. It's basically like beating Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania for no reason just to keep him humble.
Oh, here we
go. So let's see if they stay on Brandon LaFell and if they stay on LeGarrette Blount. Because they don't have good alternatives, frankly, to them.
No, they don't.
And if Jonas Gray was anything more than a one-game
My
fluke,
name is Jonas.
Yeah. If
good
he was
tune.
Any, if
good
any,
tune.
If he was gotta like that. If he was anything more than a fluke, you would have seen him in some of the other games that they've had
since
then.
Well, he got into Belichick's look, I just have faith. It's kind of like Baltimore. I have faith. Like, this organization knows what it's doing. So I'm pretty comfortable.
Are they going to be able to camouflage that secondary, though? That's a much bigger question than four games without Brady, even though
remember, in the
Skip
games,
Bayless culture we live in, the only thing we should be talking about is Tom Brady. That's not nearly as consequential.
Here's the thing. A quarter of their games will be against Buffalo and the Jets, who have no quarterbacks. So remember that.
Yeah, true.
I mean, who else do they have? I mean, the Patriots. I see they have a game. Game's late. Houston, no quarterback there. Tennessee, no quarterback there. Washington.
But.
Jacksonville.
Spoiler alert. I think every team they play in the playoffs will have at least a pretty good quarterback.
Remember, until last year.
Hashtag no repeat.
Until last year, I agree with you. Until last year when Seattle drew a historically bad for that division round Carolina team. Mm-hmm. The Super Bowl winner had gone many, many moons without winning a playoff game the next year. I think, you know what? Let's be bold. You referenced your boy John Edward Bayless a moment ago. Let's give a hot take here.
Okay.
I'll say Miami does win the division in a tiebreak over New England. I'll say they beat them the last week of the year at home and win the tiebreak. New England will then go out in the wild card game.
I have two shocking NFL division winners coming myself, so I can't even blink at that. On paper, that's no more unlikely than some of the picks that I'm going to make.
How many close games were there? 1-2-0, 2-1... 3-1, 4-1.
Oh, cool!
Well,
we get to do this in real time. Excellent.
Yes. Excuse me, I didn't do my notes on that one. They were pretty lucky. Oh, what another bad fan take is too. I'm not going to reference the guy's name, but like there was some guy. So the Super Bowl obviously was very upsetting for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
New England won that game a year ago. In case if you forgot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I hate is like that play happened where Wilson throws the interception. Right, it was a stupid play call,
mm-hmm.
and then New England wins. And then people are like, you know, I got to say it. Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Joe Montana. I'm like, why? Because of a play he had nothing to do with?
Right.
Like, so, like, if Seattle did the smart thing and ran that ball in the end zone and won the game, Tom Brady can't be a better quarterback than Joe Montana because of that result that had nothing to do with him. I hate that so much. I just wanted to say that.
I agree completely. That is very, very random. I mean,
remember, this team was on the ropes against Baltimore two rounds before that. I think they will not repeat this year.
No, I agree with that as well, although I have them repeating as division champs. Again, a team that will not even come close to toppling them as division champs. Next up here alphabetically in the AFC, the New York Jets. 4-12 last year. Final year of Rex Ryan. You did. You were closer to that, much closer than I was. I got them 7-9 this year, and if I could make a case for anything, it would be lower. I can't admit that 7-9 feels like their ceiling. I think I'm still taking them there because, again, they're not going to have Sheldon Richardson the entire season. But again, they've really beefed up that front there. I mean that their trenches are just going to be insane. Opposing teams should be averaging like 25 yards a game rushing against them.
And Todd Bowles knows how to blitz. That's just a new head coach.
Yeah,
he knows how to blitz.
He's a very good defensive minded coach. Again,
much
like Buffalo, much like Houston, you still got to play offense.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And look, here's the thing, too. They just lost their starting quarterback to that broken jaw, and that factors in not at all to what I'm saying. Because if they had Geno, I'd be saying the same thing.
It did not change my opinion one iota.
Yeah.
Or one win, for that matter.
Yeah.
Now, the Jets, it's interesting here. They have gone up a little bit throughout the offseason. I would imagine it may have come down because – silly people, but they went from 6.5 to 7.5.
Your boy,
it was 7.5 2 weeks ago. I think he could be okay, and they're going to be improved. Last year, remember, I came on this program and predicted a worst case scenario because they were 8-8 2 years ago, but had an awful, awful point differential that indicated overachievement. So I said four wins they gave us. This year, I think they bounced back a little bit. New head coach, I think improved luck. They were really bad in the turnover department last year. They were near the bottom at minus 11 in turnover ratio. And what's really interesting here is I do believe, Richard H. Morris, that they had a better point differential, possibly. I could be wrong here, but let's look at this in real time here. Don't we love these real-time things? It's so great.
As we speak.
Yes, I had all the. No, they didn't. I was wrong. But they were 4-12 last year with a minus 118 mm-hmm. point differential. The year before, they were 8-8. but we're minus 97. Okay. So, I mean, those are kind of the same. So they're kind of in between this year. They're not going to be as good as they were 2 years ago or as fortunate for that matter.
Right.
But they're clearly better than they showed last year. Good defense. The offense does leave a lot to be desired.
Having said that, though, wide receivers, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Devin Smith. Not too much to sneeze at with the three of them.
No, but I did not change one bit with the Geno Smith injury. I think Fitzpatrick actually may be a better option, to be honest with
Chris
you.
Chris Ivory, a very underrated running back also, too.
I agree.
Serviceable.
I have them at 7-9.
Yeah, 7-9.
Them and Buffalo are very, very identical teams.
I agree. And to whatever extent Houston, we've all got them at 7-9. So that kind of shows you right there how much they all have in common. A team that
they get Oakland and Cleveland.
And the Jets are now.
The Jets are better than those
teams.
They're
a step up. You wouldn't have said that previously. Mm-hmm. They were kind of interchangeable. Another team in the misery bin.
And they get the AFC South.
Yeah, they
so
do.
Jacksonville and Tennessee at home. They get Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Tennessee at home.
You're making me feel better about 7-9.
Yeah, 7-9.
Because
I don't love the team.
Their ceiling, you know.
You know, with some good fortune, maybe they do a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I feel very confident.
You're
7 wins. They're one of those teams that, like, I just love saying this is their record.
Right.
And 7-9 will be the Jets' record.
Well, ever since that run of where they were making the AFC championship games, they've sort of been in that misery bin in the AFC along with our next team here alphabetically, the Oakland Raiders. We've got the Jets graduating from that. I also have Oakland doing it to an extent, 3-13 a year ago. And look, and I'm the guy, like, every year, I'm always the guy because you always have to make your win totals add up. So I'm always the guy that cheats of, like, oh, I'll just make Oakland, like, 2-14 or 1-15. I'm always the guy that cheats and does that. Not this year, 6-10.
Ooh,
and
that seems high.
I don't know that they're going to turn around on the watch of Dennis Allen / Reggie McKenzie. Both of these guys have been on the bubble for a little while. And that kind of makes me nervous.
Well, they have Jack Del Rio now.
I'm sorry. Del Rio. Yeah, you're right about
new
that.
New head coach.
Well, and again, Del Rio, I got a brain fart there for a second. Del Rio, let it be said, that's a guy where I do put him in a category, as I said before. I wouldn't want to see him get Chris Palmered in terms of never get another look at a head coaching job because I think he deserves it. Having said that, they were the only team talking to him. The Raiders typically hone in on a coach that nobody else was interested in talking to. How's that worked out for him? That hasn't gone so well. But I'm a little more of a believer in Derek Carr than you. I don't think he's going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. I think he can get to the serviceable Andy Dalton level. I mean, I think he's got Andy Dalton potential, which that's the very, very...
I guess that's a
if there's not the epitome of damning with faint praise, I don't know what it is. But they've got better weapons. I think Amari Cooper is pretty pro ready.
I love Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack is awesome. I mean, that's a guy that, you know, it could be the LT for the 21st century. But again, they still have a lot of holes. They've gotten rid of a lot of bad contracts. They're about. Not halfway. They're maybe 40% of the way through the purge of that awful roster of the last couple of years.
I mean,
they're still on the front end of the rebuild, but, you know, it's possible that, you know, if you squint 3-4 years on the horizon, Kyle Ross, you can see some daylight. I don't know if it's a sustainable 6-10 that they can build on for the next year, but I think it's a 6-10 that works in 2015.
Well, picking 10 or more losses for this team is pretty automatic. They've had 10 of those years in the last 12 seasons.
Right.
So I'm with you that there will be improvement, but not much. I'm going to say 4 or 5 wins. I'm under the 5.5 win total here.
Okay.
They were last in turnover differential, minus 15, so that signals a little bit of an uptick. Unfortunately, they were also last in point differential at minus 199.
Mm-hmm.
They were almost outscored over a 16-game season. They were outscored by almost 200 points.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Their wide receivers were, like, historically bad, though.
Yeah, but you know what? I just don't think that this Derek Carr is very good. I thought that, like, he was getting too... I think it's weird. I think he was getting too much praise. The way we viewed those quarterbacks last year was wrong, except for Manziel. who I think everyone agrees was a disaster.
Yeah.
Everyone else is being, the way their rookie years are being viewed, I think is wrong. The other three. I don't think there's that big of a difference between Carr and Bortles. And I think there's this groundswell that Carr is way better than Bortles. I don't
decently
think
decently better. I'd say decently better.
And then at the same time, and we'll talk about this, I'll save this for Minnesota. Bridgewater's clearly the best of the four.
Yeah, by far.
But that doesn't make him awesome.
I think
on that later.
Yeah,
more
Pro Bowl quarterback down the road.
Yeah,
I
more
think.
On that later. I just don't see, like, again, X amount of teams are going to win five or less games. I don't see how Oakland isn't one of those teams. Them or Jacksonville, one of them is going to win five. One of them is going to win four. They do not play each other, I don't think, or do those two divisions
Oakland
play
Oakland doesn't play Jacksonville.
Oakland does not
play
Jacksonville.
Schedule.
Yeah, yeah. Well, oh, yeah, I didn't know if the South played the – oh, no, because the North plays the West this
yeah.
year. That's right. Raiders did not win a road game last year. You know, you'd like to think that Jacksonville also did not win a road game last year. There's just not – again – I view Oakland and Jacksonville very, very similarly in the sense that there's just not a lot of talent here. If you've
right.
got it to what you said at the open, okay, there's going to be bottom-of-the-barrel teams every year, right?
Right.
I just don't see how Oakland isn't one of those teams again this year.
In the case of Jacksonville and Oakland, I'm going to go back to my macro point at the beginning of inching closer to being an 8-8 league. I agree with you, but I mean, I think the bottom of the barrel is at least 6 inches higher than it was a year ago. That's how I have Oakland at 6-10, because that doesn't really elevate them much in the AFC.
Oakland played some teams kind of tough
yep.
last year. They had some close losses. They played New England kind of tough early in the year. They played Seattle surprisingly tough, lost only by 6 points there, lost by a touchdown at San Diego. So.
And I think they're further along in the rebuild than Jacksonville. When
yeah,
you look at
you know what?
I'll
say
Cooper.
Jacksonville 4-12. Oakland, I'll say Oakland 5-11.
With guys like Cooper and Mack, they're further along than Jacksonville, I think, in the
yeah,
rebuild.
And their first round pick isn't already out for the year. So
yeah
I'll say 5-11 for Oakland.
Yeah. Well, from Oakland, a team for which I have always, as a football fan, had a real distaste, to one where it's even more so. The next team alphabetically in the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers, 11-5 a year ago, wild card team, lost their
won
wild
the division,
card game.
Won the division.
I'm sorry.
Lost
yeah,
in
yeah.
the wild card
That's
game.
Right, because I had 11-5-1 as the typo here for Cincinnati. That's right. It was 10-5-1. Pittsburgh 11-5, lost the wild card game to Baltimore.
At home.
I got them 9-7. I got them in a tiebreaker with Cincinnati winning the division again. People are making a lot of, okay, there's been some turnover on defense, whatever. But again, traditionally, and they for a long time, and I've said to my best friend for a long time who's a Squealers fan, I always say to him, I don't know why you never address cornerback in the draft, but I'm grateful. And they still really didn't, although, again, not to be a homer, Doran Grant from Ohio State may make an impact somewhere in there, but probably not as one of the top two quarterbacks or cornerbacks in there, but I just think Pittsburgh muddles through, I think, offensively with what they're going to bring to bear. Le'Veon Bell, and not that life is all about fantasy football, but he would be the hands-down number one fantasy football pick overall this year were he not suspended at the outset. I part company with past lounge guest Dave Richard of CBS Sports, who thinks he still is, even notwithstanding the suspension. But, I mean, with him, Antonio Brown, Roethlisberger, I think they're going to put enough points on the scoreboard to where even if defense is a little bit of an issue, I think they're going to be able to overcome that. They may win some 31-27 games. Again, I think we agree. It's relatively narrow between them, Cincinnati, and Baltimore. I just, when you shake up the three of them, I end up drawing Pittsburgh out of the hat. You end up drawing Baltimore out of the hat.
Yes, I think it's a case of how much you think they regress. And I just think that, you know, we talked about with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
We talked about kind of some luck in close games that they enjoyed last year.
Right.
Point differential, not really indicative of a 10-win team. So I had them regressing. And
right.
You do too. We both had them kind of not. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, to me, it's real close. One of them will win 8, one of them will win 9. The Steelers' win total is currently 9, up from 8.5. Now, they won 11 last year, so if them and the Bengals kind of equally regress, then I don't know. I wouldn't bet that because they're either an 8 or 9 win team, the
yeah.
Steelers for me.
Yeah.
I do not have them making the playoffs. I have the Ravens, as you alluded to. I did have the Steelers winning the division last year. But here's the problem, and it's interesting because we always see New England, Denver, Indy winning these divisions, right? The other three divisions. But we see the turnover happen in the AFC North. Why is this, Rick Morris? Oh, well, it's because they have to play those other three teams who are always kind of better.
Right.
And that's a big reason why we see the turnover in this division. So Pittsburgh, they have to play Indy, Denver, and New England.
That's going to be tough.
It is. They were 4-3 in games decided by 7 points or less. But here's kind of an oddity. They also had two additional wins by 8 points. So that's technically a one-score game. So they had some good fortune here. They were a team with dramatic splits on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. One of the best teams offensively in the league. Tremendous talent at the skill positions. One of the worst defensively. I'll be honest with you. I know that, and you know we've been a part of it too, but you have to know when you are wrong. And when you talk about Todd Haley and Dick LeBeau, the two coordinators last year, look, the one guy had more talent in its prime. There's no denying that. But whose unit showed up and whose didn't? It was time. I had no problem with them letting Dick LeBeau go and kind of rebuilding these this defense because Blitzburg was over, man. Troy Polamalu had hit a wall. This defense is nowhere near what it used to be. They'll be better this year, but I don't think the offense will be as good. And as a result, the Steelers regress and miss the playoffs. It hurts that they don't have Bell for the first two games either. And, you know, the schedule again, although they do get Denver and Indy both at home, you know, I don't know if they necessarily win both those games.
Here's the interesting thing, too, and this is a good transition to our next team in the AFC alphabetically. Again, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore in the north. It's a matter of picking one of those three teams. That's going to be the division winner. And then it's like there's a separate bracket in the AFC. Miami, San Diego, Kansas City, two of those three teams to be a wild card team. Or a division winner if you're picking two teams in the West, because theoretically the Denver Broncos don't have to win the West, do they? I'm here to tell you no, because the next team up here I do have actually winning the AFC West.
Oh, so this is kind of your Miami, in a sense.
Yes, okay. Exactly. That's why I'm not going to bat an eyelash at you doing that, because I'm doing something off the grid here myself. San Diego Superchargers, 9-7 a year ago. I got them 10-6 this year, winning the West on a tiebreaker. It's funny, because right after the season, I was very bullish on them. And then I got into the offseason, and I was much less bullish. And as I said before, the picks that I made in Fantasy Football Draftology 2015, I had them just as a wild card team and going out in the AFC. But like I said, I just got to this whole tipping point thing here of I think we saw the end of an era in the NFL after this past off season to where it's going to be a little bit more wide open in both conferences. If I'm going to make a case for a team other than New England or Denver to win the AFC, I could go the route of Indianapolis, as some are choosing to do. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go San Diego.
What do you like about this team so much? Like, what tangible thing are you grasping onto?
I think
you love this team so much this year that they're going to improve.
Defensively, I think that they're very strong, and I think that the safety play that they have is just outstanding. But I mean, they're solid to very good defensively. Offensively, one of the things I really key on.
Not as good as Kansas City, though, defensively.
No, not as good, but offensively. And again, it's still an offensively, yes.
They are one of
skill positions, yeah, because when you look at them, when you look at what Rivers brings.
Is Melvin Gordon going to be the offensive rookie of the year? You have to feel that.
I think so, yes.
You have to feel that.
He's a big difference maker. And again, you look at the other guys in there. Keenan Allen, sophomore jinx kind of a year. I look for a comeback out of him. Antonio Gates, yes, he'll miss the first couple games. Also,
Darius Green, though, when's he, you know, you're a big fantasy guy. When's he going to awake from fantasy sleeper
status? I don't know that he's
status.
Ever going to, and my pick isn't contingent on that. But I will say this, and somebody that I've had on my team fantasy-wise a couple different times, one of the better wide receivers in the league who is never, ever discussed by anybody, Malcolm Floyd. Maybe it's because he can't spell his name right. There's no L in it. Maybe that's what throws people off. Or no second L. But, I mean, between him, Keenan Allen, and Gates, that's pretty darn good right there. You got
they get Danny Woodhead coming back?
Yeah. They have a strongly diversified offense. They have a defense that I think is above average. one of the best strongly diversified offenses in the league. Look, class of 2004, Roethlisberger has had his time to take the Lombardi Trophy. Eli Manning, the third guy out of that class, Philip Rivers. Is it going to be his year? Well, I'll tell you this. It's going to be his year to come out of the AFC anyways. I'll give you at least that much.
Oh, wow.
We'll talk about this after our last team here, Tennessee, to get to alphabetically, and we can probably just gloss over them. 2-14 a year ago.
Oh,
I got them 4-12
I'm
this
sorry,
year.
I'm sorry.
You know what?
Can I comment
more
on
San Diego? Yeah, yeah.
I'm not nearly as high on them. They were 5-1 in close games last year,
okay,
including an overtime win late against San Francisco.
Yeah.
They have to close with three division road games in their last 4 weeks. I look at the games that they did blow teams out last year. I see Jacksonville, the Jets, and Oakland. The Oakland will obviously be on the schedule twice this year.
Yeah.
But and Jacksonville's on there, too, on the road. But the Jets aren't on the schedule this year. It's Miami, who I like a little bit better. I just look at this team, and to me, they're the definition of mediocrity. I've got them at 8-8.
Okay.
And it boils down to, who do you like more, the Chiefs? And I could just make an argument statistically that the Chiefs are going to be better and the Chargers are not. Now, their win total, it dipped to 8 momentarily, but it's back to where it opened at 8.5. So I'm going under here. You know, they weren't very good down the stretch. I know there were a lot of injuries.
But you said, and I'll give you credit for this, because I clung to San Diego making the playoffs like grim death, and you kept pointing out about the schedule last year.
Yeah.
So don't you now have to acknowledge, when you're saying, well, it didn't look so good down the stretch, it was a tough schedule.
It's true, but, you know, they had some dogs last year. They lost to Miami 37-0.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, the last three teams they lost were New England and Denver at home. Nope. I mean, you'd like to split those games
because
they're at home. Lost to Kansas City in the final week of the year. But I don't know. They did beat Seattle back in week two. And remember, I was with you. This team started 5-1. It's easy to forget that.
Yeah.
And you and I both were on their bandwagon late in 2013.
Right.
I just don't necessarily. I'm not feeling San Diego as much anymore.
Let me ask you this before we move on. We're probably going to part company on this answer. What do you like more, KCD or San Diego O? I got it pretty close, but I like the San Diego offense a little more than I like the Kansas City defense.
It's pretty close. I just think that when you look at the number, like both teams, Kansas City and San Diego, finished 9-7 last year.
Right.
Kansas City had an infinitely better point differential.
Right.
I think it was like San Diego was basically even. It was dead even, if I remember.
Right.
And Kansas City was plus like 75 or whatever, plus 70s. So it was in the. So I think they were a better team last year, and I think they have more working in their favor statistically this year. That's what it comes down to.
That's very interesting. I don't know that there's
San Diego literally had a point differential last year of 0. They scored as many as they gave up, and were 9-7.
Well, so. Again, I'm looking for a jump here, and we talked about that as far as
Kansas City scored more points than San Diego last year.
Right.
Five more points.
Will Melvin Gordon be the offensive rookie of the year? I think that he very well may be. But then again, in terms of looking at the defense here as well, you know, there are some amazing performers that Kansas City has when you're looking at Poe, Houston, and some of them. But as I said here, the secondary of San Diego, when you're looking at guys like Flowers and Weddle. Weddle is just an amazing guy at free safety here. So, and I don't think they really have too many dogs up front. So, San Diego, again, I'm very, very high on them. How high? We'll get to that after Tennessee. But Tennessee,
how high
again,
indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you take me high enough? I was a big damn Yankees fan back in the day. No question about it. But Tennessee, 2-14 a year
you
ago.
You and Nuge, I can only imagine that.
4-12 this year. That's my pick for Tennessee. I don't see a lot of progression. You and I talked about this off air. A lot of it depends on how decimated you see this Tennessee roster as being. I see this roster as being pretty thin up and down the line, and that sort of informs my opinion as to them. They are early at best in a rebuild. Mariota without much to work with there at all.
Yeah, but you know, when you're coming off a 2-14 year, most signs are pointing up when you look, when you break down the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll concede this was arguably the worst team in football last year.
Sure.
They won one of their last 15 games, and that win was a two-point win at home against Jacksonville.
Right.
Where I believe they blocked a field goal on the last play. But they were close in some losses. They weren't blown out necessarily every week. They lost by one to Cleveland, two to Washington. I know neither of those teams are very good, but still. Three to Pittsburgh, five to the Jets. So,
and as you pointed out, they beat Kansas City
on the road.
That was the Brock Lesnar special, the anomaly of the year.
Yes, yes. So they're going to win more games this year.
Yeah,
which you agree with. I've got them winning six though.
Ooh,
I've got them going. I've got them as one of those teams. You know, the rule of four that every year a team will improve. A certain amount of teams will improve or decline by four games. I just think that there's such room to improve that they'll get the six. So much depends on Mariota and Wiz and Hunt gelling. Your boy Coach Wiz has not been the best developer of quarterbacks. When he inherits or has a Pro Bowl player at that position, he does quite well.
Yeah.
See Ben Roethlisberger, see Kurt Warner, see Phillip Rivers.
Well, some of that's on the procurement end as well. But
well,
yeah.
I mean, doesn't he have a role in that? I mean,
he does.
It was the right pick. It was the right pick to take Marcus Mariota number two.
Right.
Because Zach Mettenberger is atrocious.
Now, having said that.
Atrocious with a capital
right.
Atrocious.
I don't know that Mariota has the ceiling you want in the second pick of the draft. I think he's going to be a nice above-average quarterback.
Some people like him better than Winston. I don't think that either he or Winston are going to be all pros for years to come.
Winston's more
both,
prototype, though.
Yes, but both represent significant upgrades over what was there. So
yeah.
I see with the importance that position has in today's NFL,
right.
I see why both picks were made.
Right.
Tennessee, you know, they get that last place schedule, which means Cleveland and Oakland is on their schedule. The Jets are on their schedule.
Right.
So they'll have, you know, some more winnable games. Remember last year they were that team that I really didn't have a clue on.
Right.
And that's always been a bad sign because the team when I'm always like, yeah, I don't know about this team.
Mm-hmm.
Seven wins seems like their ceiling. That's what I'll pick. They always kind of implode.
Yeah.
This year all the signs point up, but, I mean, only up so much.
I would agree with that. Looking at the big picture here in the AFC, I know you're probably more looking to do a general critique on it. I'll give you specifics on how I think it's going to go all the way through here. Wild card
this is
round.
The playoffs. Okay.
Yeah, and wild card round, number 5 seed Denver. Wild card, I remember I said, over number 4 seed Pittsburgh. So that is something that would be an upset. That's not an upset, I think, to most people. You would have a road favorite there. You probably should, right, if it's Denver at Pittsburgh?
Yes. Tim Tebow strikes again.
Yes, exactly. the Tebow Bowl part 2. Number 3, New England over number 6, Miami. Now, interestingly enough, that's something you might see as a first-round matchup, but with Miami hosting New England, potentially.
It might, but it isn't.
Okay. All right. Divisional round, I'm going to say, and I hinted at this before, number 1, Indianapolis over number 5, Denver. So,
okay.
Denver losing to Indy again this year. Number 2, San Diego, at home, taking down Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. And in the AFC Championship game,
Phillip Rivers would have another Herculean effort, by the way. You
know, this time he might actually be in a position where he should be playing instead of Billy Volek, as was the case previously here. But Championship Sunday, number 2 San Diego goes into Lucas Oil Stadium and defeats the number 1 seed Indianapolis Colts. For the second year in a row, the Colts go down, this time at home. The San Diego Chargers are going to the Super Bowl, everybody. For only the second time ever, they'll be in Super Bowl 50.
They were the biggest underdog the first time they ever did it against the Niners.
They were. And they're going to be playing a team that's only been in the Super Bowl once in their history. Spoiler alert.
That was one of the few years that Vegas lost money on the Super Bowl when the Chargers were in it because they didn't cover.
Yeah.
You know, all the public, of course, bet the huge favorite, San Francisco, and they covered. So that was a killer. Anyway. Wow. You have a team winning the AFC that I don't have making the playoffs. I admire your gumption. I am going to go Chalky McChalkerson with my playoff picks.
All
in the wild card round, I have number 4 Baltimore over New England. Number 5.
Wow.
New England hit the bricks. So you and I both have New England not going back to the conference championship game.
Okay.
I have number 3 Miami over number 6 Kansas City. Two teams. The only guarantee there is that Chris Berman will reference that 1970s playoff
revenge
game.
For the Christmas game. Yes.
And then
Christmas Eve
in the division round, I have the home teams winning. I have number one Indy over number four Baltimore.
Okay.
Number two Denver over number three Miami.
Okay.
And then I have the Indianapolis Colts, who seem to have they're not good against New England. That's the key. They don't want to run in New England in the playoffs because
right.
they always get killed. But at home, I have them beating Denver to win the AFC.
Very interesting. Which is exactly how I have
if
it going
Indy
in the
sucks
divisional
this
round.
Year. Do you know how mad I'm going to be if Indy like this is the year they suck? Like after me picking them to regress the last 2 years, I'm going to be irate.
Yeah, but I mean. What's the definition of Indy suck? 8-8 and still win the division? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess they could.
What's their floor, Kyle? Come on.
I don't know.
Their floor is maybe even 7-9 and make the playoffs. Come on.
We have seen that a couple times in recent years.
We have. I mean, that's the whole thing. They got a safety net under them there in the course of that division. All right, so you have Denver coming out of the AFC.
No, Indy.
Indy. You have, yeah, I'm sorry, Indy. Denver was going to be my pick. And then again, I just hit the reset button. I said originally Green Bay over Denver in the Super Bowl, and then just the totality of everything we've seen in the last couple of days here. Jordy Nelson going down is just the latest. I'm like, you know what? I'm going completely outside the box. I say San Diego comes out of the AFC. You and I both have the Colts playing at home on Championship Sunday.
Yes.
But you have Denver going in there and losing. I have San Diego going in there and winning. The NFC... I know we're going to disagree on that one, too, and you're really going to be looking at me cross-eyed when I tell you who's coming out of the NFC.
Oh, boy.
There's a teaser, folks. You are not going to want to miss that one.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.